Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Grab your Bible, everybody. Let's make our confession together. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Oh, let's thank God for the Word today, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. We begin a brand new series this morning. So glad you're here, everybody online, out in the Rock Express, the lobby, family table. We're glad you're here today. You could be anywhere, but you chose to be at the right place at the right time. And I believe I have a right now word for you and for me and for our church. You know, as we go into a brand new month, the month of May, a brand new series called The Power of Patience. The Power of Patience. You're praying for me, right? I believe it's going to be a life-changing series this whole month. I'm so excited about this series. It's going to be the best one I've taught in 42 years. Y'all praying for me. Amen. So the power of patience, the power of patience. You know, I want to help those of you this month that are struggling a little bit. You're struggling a little bit with your faith. You get a little bit, I know I've been there, you're a little tired of waiting, a little tired of waiting for when God, why God, how come it hasn't happened yet, God? You know, we've all been there. I've had answers to my prayers manifest instantly, and I know you have too. I've had other answers, manifestations to my prayer that took a week. I've had others that took a month. I've had other prayers that I've prayed, and I believe when I pray, I receive, but I'm waiting for the manifestation. I've had to a year, some five. Some prayers that I prayed, I believed when I prayed, I received, but now I'm in the good fight of faith waiting. We call that patience. I've had some go for a decade. There are some things I've prayed for that haven't even happened yet that I prayed 20 years ago. So what am I doing? I'm waiting. But while I'm waiting, I'm not wasting my time or my life away. I want to help those of you this month that are a little frustrated. You know, frustration is a terrible thing. It can be a terrible thing. Being frustrated in your Christian walk, being frustrated as a Christ follower. And we've all been there. I've been there. Oh, my goodness. I believe you've been there. Some of you are there right now. Some of you online. You're going through a season of frustration. You know, I went to my dictionary and looked up the word frustration. And it said this, that frustration was a result of defeat. Defeat. That frustration was a result of disappointment. Disappointment. Now, this is in Webster's Dictionary, 1821 version, that frustration was defined as a result of defeat, of disappointment, of discouragement. So defeat, you feel defeated. You feel like that you failed. You feel like there's no way out. You feel like you're stuck in this season for the rest of your life. You don't see an end of what you're going through. That feeling of defeat, that feeling of being disappointed, the feeling of discouragement, Webster said that's all a result. That's what frustration comes from. And then it said this, getting no results. Getting no results. You know, this last week I was listening to an interview with the Cardinals manager. And he was talking about how that they really don't focus on results. They focus on the daily process. He called it habits. He called it daily process. He said, we know if we'll focus on the daily habits on the process, eventually we'll get the results we want. So this month in this series, I'm going to talk to you about habits, holy habits. Holy habits with a H-O-L-L-Y. Holy, and it could be also W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy habits, a rhythm, a routine, a process, things that we do every day that will build patience, things that we do every day that will build endurance. I was listening to a podcast the other day. It was a Navy SEAL, and he said that the key to being successful in life, this is this Navy SEAL on this podcast, he said the key to being successful in life is the ability to endure. The ability to endure, the ability to persevere. That's what that Navy SEAL said. Number one, boil it down, the key to success in every area and venue of life is the ability to endure. The ability to persevere. That's why we're talking about this whole month, the power of patience. The power of patience. You know, I want you to go in your Bible with me, if you would. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36 in the New Living Translation. I love this. Are you ready? Oh, I love the word. I know you do too. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, God has a word for you today. Come on, tell them, God has a word for you today. Turn to somebody else and tell them, God has a word for you today. Oh my goodness. Look what this verse says. Look this, before we read the verse, this is the definition of the Bible definition of patience. It's restraint. This is the Bible. I went to my Bible dictionaries. I have several. And this is the Bible definition of patience. Restraint. Capacity for self-control. Oh my goodness. Capacity for self-control. Despite the circumstances, my response to difficult, trouble set of circumstances, to continue without complaining. So not only is patience a force, patience is only and not only a fruit of the Spirit, but patience is an attitude. Say that with me. Patience is an attitude. So Bible definition of patience, it's a restraint, it's capacity for self-control despite my circumstances, my response to difficult, trouble set of circumstances, to continue without complaining, and the power to persevere. Bible definition of patience. So look at Hebrews 10:36. Patient endurance is what you need now. Oh my goodness. Patient endurance is what you need now. I want you to turn to somebody and just tell them, come on, tell them, look them right in the eyes and say, you need patience. Come on, tell somebody else. Come on, tell them, look them right in the eyes and say, you need patience. And you might be thinking, well, how do you know that I need that? Because the Bible says we do. The Bible says it's not an option. The Bible says it's not a luxury. The Bible says you need it. If the Bible says I need it, then I need it. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you'll continue to do God's will. I love the word. So you'll continue to do God's will. So in other words, I'm teaching on this whole month to help you run your race, finish strong, do God's will. Everything he wants you to do on this planet. While you're here, patient endurance is what you need now. Why do I need it? So you'll continue to do God's will. Number two, then you will receive, everybody say receive, then you'll receive all that God has promised. So two things there, that I need patience to finish strong. I need patience not to quit. I need patience not to get weary and give up. I need patience so that I can know the will of God and fulfill God's will for my life while I'm on this planet. And number two, I need patience because without it, I won't receive all that God wants me to have, do, and be. Patience. The willingness to wait and not waste your life while you're waiting, but do the correct things, those holy habits, that daily process. Wow. You all know that I'm a car guy and I'm a motorcycle guy. And motorcycles have been a part of my life all of my life. It started out with my older brother, Rick, who is now in heaven. He had a motorcycle. He had a few motorcycles. And I can remember he was 6 years older than me. So when he was 16, had his license, I'm 10. And I can remember riding on the back of his motorcycles with him and thinking that was so cool. That was so awesome to be behind my big brother on his motorcycles. And I caught the bug. I got the infection. I got the injection. I got the bite. So from then on, I love motorcycles. I always wanted a motorcycle. I saw myself on motorcycles. I began to pay attention to different kinds of motorcycles. And so I got my first motorcycle when I was 16 years old. When I was 16 years old, I got my first motorcycle, got my driver's license, and off we go. It was a Kawasaki. And down through the years, you know, I've had a lot of different bikes. I've had Harley Davidsons. I've had Indians. I've had Triumphs. I've had Ducatis. Oh, man, I love my Ducati. I've had H2 Kawasakis, the fastest motorcycle of the day that we live in. I mean, I've had all of these. And I always wanted a Norton motorcycle, a Norton. I always wanted an 850 Commando Norton motorcycle because in its day, I wanted a 73 to a 75. And in its day, it was the fastest motorcycle there was an 850 Commando Norton. And I always wanted one. And then finally, a few years ago, the opportunity came. And I had the opportunity to purchase one, and it was in a restoration shop. And the shop is out west, and it was noted, it used to be on the Biker Build-Off on television way back, you know, in the early 2000s, they were on TV, and this guy was on, he was one of the Biker Build-Off. In fact, he's known worldwide for being the greatest restorer of Norton motorcycles that there is. And we had a relationship, and he called me up one day, and he said, "Hey, Dave, I've got an 850 Norton 75 Commando, and the guy that I was restoring it for is moving from L.A. to New York City. He sold his Porsche, and he said, I won't need it in New York City. He's going to use the subways and taxis, and he said he wouldn't be able to take his motorcycle, so his motorcycle is available if you'd like to purchase it." And I thought to myself, is the Pope Catholic? I said, this is a dream bike. I always wanted for a long time, a 74, 75, 850 Commando Norton motorcycle. And so I said, I'll get it. I said, how's the restoration going? He goes, it's going real good. The restoration, we should be done in just 3 or 4 months. I go, wow, 3 or 4 months, you'll have it done? Yep. I said, okay, I'll buy it. So I bought it. And I was so excited, and I waited. And a month went by, I didn't hear anything from him. I waited. 2 months went by, I didn't hear anything from him. 3 months went by, it was supposed to be done. I waited, I got no phone call. So I began to call him, and he said, well, there's parts that come from England that haven't come, and this, that, and the other, and I'm waiting on this, and you know, this was during a time when there was a backup and on chain supply. It was hard to get different items, and it was backed up. So 6 months went by, and I waited, talking about the power of patience. I don't like to wait. How about y'all? I don't naturally like to wait. I'm a guy who wants it done yesterday. Maybe some of you are like that. So in this series, I probably need it more than anybody else in the house. So I waited, and 8 months went by, and he still didn't have it done. And 9 months went by, he still didn't have it done. And a year, I'm tired of waiting. Dude, what's going on? A year went by, he didn't have it done. And a year and 2 months went by, he didn't have it done. Oh, man, waiting. I hate to wait, don't you? And a year and a half, y'all. A year and a half went by, and he still wasn't done. And finally, after 2 years, long years, supposed to have been done in 2 or 3 months. It took 2 years because of the parts and the holdup and the chain supply. And it took 2 years to get it. But you know what? It was worth the wait. Let me show you a picture of my bike. There it is, right next to my Chevelle. Look how beautiful that thing is. It's a showpiece. It's a piece of art. Look at the chrome. Look at the stainless steel. Look at the paint. It was a special paint that he painted it with. All brand new, every nut, bolt, everything brand spanking new. And when I got that and I started it up, it was worth the wait. So we all have to deal with it, don't we? Waiting. We all have to go through learning how to be patient. And if you're like me, I'm not naturally a very patient person. You know, when I go through the drive-thru, it takes too long. How about you? The microwave is way too long for me. How about you? So that's what we're going to talk about. How to wait. How to be patient. How to endure. You need patience. Look at the overheads. Number one, to do God's will. Without it, I will never fulfill God's plan for my life. And here at Church on the Rock, our mission, and we're all on this mission together at Church on the Rock, to lead people to a God who's for them and help them discover his purpose or plan or will for their life. To fulfill God's will for your life, we just read it in Hebrews 10:36, you're going to need patience. Number two, to receive all that God has promised. You know, I'm still waiting on things that I prayed for, and I believed when I prayed, I received. But there is that waiting period for some things. Some things just take longer. It's like in the natural, in the planting and the harvesting season, it takes longer for some crops than others. It takes longer for some prayers to be manifested than others. But if I'm not willing to wait with a right attitude, if I'm not willing to do the work daily, do the work daily, do the work daily, the holy habits, get in the rhythm, if I'm not willing to do that and I give up too soon, then I'm not going to receive all that God has for me. You need patience. Look at Hebrews 6, verse 12. Hebrews 6, verse 12. And look what it says, that ye be not slothful or lazy. Do not be lazy, but followers of them who through faith, and look at this, and patience, that's how you inherit or receive the promises of God. As somebody said, there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible, but they're not just going to fall in our lap. We have to do the work. We have to do our part. And notice it said, don't be lazy, do the work. Don't be lazy, get in the process. Don't be lazy, get into those habits daily that will take you where you want to go. And notice it says that through faith and patience, someone called these twins, faith and patience. My patience won't work without faith, and my faith won't work without patience. They need each other. Say it with me, faith and patience. Again, faith and patience. So notice through faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. Oh, my goodness. Number three, for your faith to work and to be effective, I need patience. Oh, we just read it. Faith and patience work together. If I'm impatient and I stay there, I'm going to miss all that God has for me. So number three, I need patience. I need patience not only to do the will of God, number two, to receive all that God has for me. Number three, the third reason I need patience is for my faith to be effective. Look what it says in James 1, verse 2 through 4. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped or surrounded in an encounter of trials of any sort, or you fall into different kinds of temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial you're in is the testing or proving of your faith. What's this? Will bring out endurance, steadfastness, and patience. Notice those three words are synonymous: patience, endurance, and steadfastness. And notice that I need patience for my faith to be effective. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience, notice those three words as the team comes out. Endurance, steadfastness, and patience have full play and do a thorough work. So you will become the people perfectly and fully developed, lacking in nothing. The next reason that we need patience is to become and reach your full potential. I'll never become the person God created me to be without patience. We're talking about the power of patience, and today we're doing the introduction on why we need. We found out we need, it's not an option, we need it. We need it. We need patience. And we need patience for all of these principles to come to pass for you and I to reach our full potential. Isn't that powerful? That's so powerful. And I know if you're like me, we don't like to wait. I don't like to wait. Have you noticed the traffic lately? I mean, this is crazy. And all the road work they're doing is increasing the traffic problem. So I don't like to wait in traffic. How about y'all? I don't like to wait in traffic and get sign languages from people behind me and horns honking at me. I don't like that, you know. I could get real impatient with that. But you know what? Let me tell you something that has helped me. I want to help you. And the power of patience. What to do while we're waiting. What to do while we're waiting. See, patience is not passive. Patience is active. So what I do, you know, because I live over 20 miles one way from the church. Every time I come to church, it's a round trip of 40 miles. Been doing it for 40 years, though it's worth the drive. Amen. So what I do is what I heard Zig Ziglar say over decades ago when he was alive, Zig Ziglar. And Zig said this, I'll never forget it. He said, if you really want to excel in life, if you really want to become the person that God created you to be, if you really want to be dynamic, if you really want to be an elite, if you really want to be the best you can be, turn your car into a university. I'll never forget Zig Ziglar said that. Turn your car, truck, or van into a university. And he said, I'll never forget it, over four decades ago, I'll never forget it. He said that while you're waiting in traffic, be listening to a book. Be listening to a teaching. Get an audible book. Get a teaching. And while you're sitting in traffic, you know, pour in and invest into yourself to become the person God wanted you to be. And you know, that's what I do. While I'm waiting in traffic, and I don't like the waiting, I don't waste the time, that I become proactive, and I made my truck a university. I encourage you to do that. Amen, somebody? So four reasons we need patience. Four reasons we need patience. Are you excited about this series? Did I help you today? If I did, give the Lord a big praise right now. Would you? Come on, let's give God a big praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Those of you online, you say you're watching today, you're saying, well, I need God. I need a relationship with God. I need peace and joy, Pastor Blunt. I need to know I'm right with God. My sins are forgiven. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I need to know my purpose. I need to know there's more to life than just my own self-interest. God has me here for a mission. I want to give my life to God today. I want to surrender my life to God today, or I want to reset it. If that's you, punch the button on your smart device. Faith is an act. You got to do something. If you need prayer, we have live people standing by. Here in this room, out in the lobby, the family table, the Rock Express, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, Pastor, today's my day. You know, decisions control our life. And right now you have an opportunity to make the biggest decision you'll ever make. I made it when I was 11 years old. I've never regretted it. That is to turn my life over to God and His will and His plan for my life. God's calling every one of us to come to Him. You say, Pastor, include me in this prayer. I want to know God. I want a relationship with God. I am ready to surrender my life to Jesus, be a Christ follower, and live for Him and His purpose for my life. I'm ready to receive His love, forgiveness, and acceptance. I'm ready to have a new beginning. I'm ready to start over. Pastor, pray for me. If that's you and you'd like to be included in this prayer, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. One, please don't miss this opportunity. There's a special anointing here today. Two, three, lift your hand right now. Would you keep it up for a few seconds all over the auditorium, all over our campus right now? Keep your hand up. Wave it at heaven. Angels are watching. You could put your hands down. All right, church, let's help them. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.